Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Being that I live in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's get ready to dive into these confessions with people I know and people that I've never met. Happy Tuesday! Welcome to the next episode of the City Confessions. I have Gabrielle Opals today. She's the co-founder of Haven Spa, which is located in Soho, Manhattan, correct?
Correct, yes.
Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
I kind of know you through Jeanette, who connected me with Haven Spa. So I had the honors of visiting and trying out the service, and I must say the ambiance is amazing.
Thank you.
And I love that it's like a full service spa.
We are, yes.
There's everything. You can get your facial, your massage, your nails, even your hair.
Yes. So that's amazing. Relatively new for us.
Yeah. I didn't know that. Like, I stepped in and I was like, whoa, you can just come here and get all your stuff done at once. And as a New Yorker, that's what you want, because it's so much easier to just one stop for all.
Absolutely. I totally agree. None of us have any time.
Exactly. So why don't you start by just telling us about who you are, more about what you do, a little bit of Haven Spa, how you founded it, and just a background of you and the relationship with the city.
Sure. Well, I guess I'll begin with, my name is Gabrielle. I was born and raised in Queens, and my business partner, Audra, and I met in high school.
Wow. Wait, where'd you guys go?
We went to Jamaica High School.
Okay.
And in Jamaica. And she and I met in 9th grade when we were 14, and we were best friends and almost from the very beginning. And we ultimately, after college, it was the height of the recession in 91, and there were no jobs, and I had a degree in anthropology, and she had a degree in business communications. And we had been working as part-time receptionists in a couple of salons in the city, and we were like, we could do this.
Wow.
And it just so happened that the owner of the salon where I was working said that she wanted to move out of the country. Did I want to buy it? So, of course, I ran to Audra. I was like, this is it. We should totally open it. We should totally buy it and get started.
That's amazing.
And that was in 1993, and that was Diana Salon on Bleecker Street. And a few years later, we had so many clients that were like, gee, I wish you had another location further east. And so we started thinking about opening a second location, and we wanted something that was, at the time, day spas were just kind of coming into the business. Like, they weren't really around yet. Bliss had just started. And we decided to do something along those lines. And we ultimately decided on Soho because it was east of where we were in
West location.
And we opened in 1998. And here we are, 21 years later, almost exactly. And we no longer have the other business, but we do have Haven. And we are not in our original location. We moved just over 3 years ago. And it gave us a real opportunity to fix a lot of the mistakes we made when we first opened that were based on inexperience and not really understanding spa. And I think we did a little better this time.
But that's so cool because you just said you studied anthropology.
Mm-hmm.
And the other co-founder,
Audra,
she studied business, right?
Business communications.
Business communication. So I know that you guys both worked in the salon as receptionists. So how did you tie those together to even like buy the salon? Like, that's a crazy risk, I think.
You know, it is. And at the same time, you know, we were 23, 24. When we were first offered the business, we were 23. We bought it officially. We were 24 at that point. Our philosophy was, we have nothing to lose. I mean, I think the only thing I owned was a VCR. I mean, I had no property. I had no car. If everything went to pot, they could take nothing from me, I mean, other than the business. Mm-hmm. My parents, the owners gave us a note, and we had a down payment. My parents lent us the money for that. And we were able to do it that way because we didn't really have much. We had just graduated from college, essentially, and had debt or not a lot of, you know, VCRs. That was about it. And we, you know, when you're the receptionist of a small salon, you really are kind of doing everything, typically. You're doing all the ordering, you're doing people management, you're doing the appointments. And when you're small like that, other than payroll and other more important business things, I guess, in a way, or other aspects of the business, you really are kind of running the day-to-day. And we felt that being that we were already doing that, we could just do more of that. And we only had a few staff members. Figuring all the other things out, we were confident that we could do that. And with trial and error, we did.
That's really impressive, I must say.
Thank you.
I think a lot of people want to start their own business or like take risks nowadays, and they're held back by so many factors. But I think nowadays it's a little more, I guess, admirable and doable. Like a lot of people,
you know,
like self-made.
I don't agree.
No?
No. I think, well, in New York, it depends on what kind of business you're talking about. I think in terms of general startups, I think what you're doing, kind of working for yourself, I think that's easier because I think the work landscape has changed. But in terms of opening a small business or starting a small business in the city that's storefront, I don't think we could do now what we did then. I just don't think the business environment in New York City is hospitable to that.
No, I think, yeah, you make a great point. So I live in the Lower East Side, and the block that I live in, I'm not joking, I've seen businesses open and close, like, I can't even count how many businesses have opened and closed within the last, like, year in the same exact spot, and I'm not sure if it's just bad luck, or again, like you were saying, it's just the nature of the business. It's really, really hard to kind of survive in the city nowadays.
Very much so. Rent, I would say rent is a big deal. It's really changed the expense for small business. I think if you're a giant bank or a cell phone company or, you know, a Duane Reade, that pretty much seems to be the only businesses around the city now, or big name stores. It's very difficult to be a small business owner in the city. There are a number of blogs out there, actually, that focus on the deterioration of small, privately owned businesses in the city. And it's tough. It's tough.
So do you want to tell me how you grew your clientele and just, like, the reputation of Haven right now?
Yeah, I would say it was very organic, a little bit of guerrilla marketing, if you will. Because when we first started out, there was the internet a little bit, but there was no social media, you know, there was no that type of marketing didn't exist. And we were very conservative. We were very inexperienced. And I think part of how we made things work was that we did a lot of it on our own. We weren't interested in borrowing money and getting external financing. And so we did it all on our own. And we didn't want to be beholden to anyone, any organization or group of investors, anything like that. And so most of what we did was being careful about who we hired, succeeding some of the time, and hiring some really great people, some of whom are still with us 20 years later, which is really nice. And they, you know, we were always about forming relationships with our clients. Clients would say, oh, you know, coming to your salon or coming to your spa is like hanging out with my friends in the living room. And I used to love that because I like the mom and pop atmosphere. I like that when I go places. And I think that's a lot of what our clients like about coming to see us, is that we are real people. We're not some kind of faceless mega corporation that owns a spa. And our staff cares. They're not robots. You know, they care about what they do. They have long-term relationships with their clients. We have clients who have been coming to us for decades. And that's very rewarding, I think, not just for me and my business partner in terms of what we've accomplished, but for our staff as well. I know that our staff, they've developed not just friendly relationships with their clients, but friendships. And I think, you know, it's word of mouth. It's still word of mouth. That's mm-hmm. what social media is about. But I still think that actual word of mouth is the best.
No, I would say it definitely is. I mean, even for what I do, I think a lot of people who move to the city or visiting the city, they often ask me, like, where should I get my nails done? Or, you know, who does your hair? Because there is,
you trust your friends more than you would.
Absolutely.
Even online sometimes. Like, you can read reviews, but, like, it's so much more for somebody that you know and trust to tell you themselves. Because if they're raving about it, then it must be good.
Exactly.
And I think you hit on such a great key. It is about relationships. I think a lot of people, you'll hear that they'll have great conversations with their hairstylist. Like, mm-hmm. that's their therapist in a way. And just with people who do your nails, like technicians, I guess that's the right way to say it. They have just like conversations about their personal lives. I just love that because it is all about relationships.
Absolutely. And that it's interesting. I would say the most successful nail techs and estheticians, massage therapists, the most successful technicians I have are people who are good at forming those relationships, I have this philosophy that you can do good work, but if you have a great personality, you'll be very successful. And if you do great work, but your personality isn't that great, you're just not going to do as well. I've seen that over and over again.
Totally. And that's how it is also with getting a job. I think when you interview somebody, they can be amazing on paper. But then when you have the interview, they just lack that, I don't know, charisma or that like energy. And like, you need that.
Yes.
Because you want to be around people that are fun to be with.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. And certainly what's also interesting about the salon spa industry is that not all of my service providers are the same personality type because customers are different personality types. I have customers who like very enthusiastic, dynamic, not loud per se, but, you know, big personalities, right. And they really enjoy that. And then I have other clients who they don't want to talk to anyone. They don't want conversation. They just want to relax. And I have people for them too. And it's important to me that we try as hard as we can to kind of match people up, sort of, if we can. And if not, I encourage people to say, well, try somebody else if that, right. You know, and that if that doesn't click for you. And it usually does click.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about what your favorite part about living in the city or just even having your business in the city. And of course, what is one thing you wish you could change?
I would say what I love about being in the city and having a business in the city is the energy, the diversity, the people. The answer is the people. Mm-hmm. It's that in the business, I get to see tourists, I get to see locals, all ages, all career backgrounds, all shapes, sizes, nationalities, you know, social classes, whatever you want to call it, like seriously everyone. And I love that. And that's what New York City is to me. I think, and at the same time, I feel that New York City is losing a little bit of that. I think that New York City is becoming less and less age of a mix of social and economic backgrounds is disappearing from the city. Like, I really miss the grungy Lower East Side and East Village. The Lower East Side still has a touch of it. But the East Village is really losing that, or it's already lost it.
I know exactly what you mean.
And I miss it. Growing up in New York City, I used to love going down to the East Village, and Soho even was like a ghost town when I was in high school, and the Lower East Side was like no man's land. You wouldn't go down there. And I really miss that, and that's just everything is so sterile and cleaned up, and, you know, Hudson Yards kind of what's going on. I mean, think about what was there 20 years ago. And I understand that things change, but I think that's what made the city so charming, especially downtown, like the Village, West Village, East Village, Soho, NoHo, that whole environment is just different now. And I it's a little exclusive.
I know exactly what you mean, because I said I've grown up in the city, and actually, on Essex Street, I'm not sure if you know, it's right next to the Williamsburg Bridge on the Manhattan side. Mm-hmm. They're building this new, like, Essex market, and they're implementing, like, a movie theater, a bowling alley. Like, it's all great, you know? But I'm like, then they're tearing down, like, this local market, the Essex market, and they're kind of basically redoing it.
Yeah, it's a charming building.
Yeah, and just, there's this chocolate shop, this candy, super local, and my mom used to go there when she was a child, and she would tell me, like, she would get candies for like pennies, and I recently walked on the block and it closed down. And it honestly broke my heart because I'm like, oh my God, that was like the last thing that I remembered vividly about just like being, like you were saying, just hanging on the Lower East Side. Mm-hmm. And that's gone. And I'm like, it's sad.
It is. So, like, it is sad.
And I see both sides like trying to be all modernized. And like a good example is Hudson Yards. It's actually, you know, like I admire the structure and like all of it. But then I'm like, I don't know. What are you going
to
do?
I just wonder who it's catering to. And I, you know, there. I what I like about the cities, there's a little bit of everything and everyone, or there was. And I feel that that's sort of fading away. And I miss that.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think if you aren't a native, like, you don't really have that perspective. Because whenever you, you know, whenever time they come here, it's what they see then and not before.
Yeah.
That makes kind of sense.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what is one thing you wish you knew now that you wish... Wait, what is one thing that you know now that you wish you knew before, especially when you were starting the business?
I think, you know, I know that you wanted to ask me that question. You gave me the little cheat sheet, and I have thought about that a lot, and it's a really difficult question to answer because hindsight's 20/20. Obviously, that's what you're kind of asking about. I think... I wish that I had understood more about people then than I do now and how to interact with people. I was so young and inexperienced, and that was my biggest challenge, was people management. I was younger than most of my staff. Actually, I think in the beginning I was younger than all of my staff, and that was a hard, it was a hard time for me and for them. And I didn't know how to cross that divide, and what do you know about that? It's more of just relating to people on a human level, I think, and losing the fear of that divide, if that
makes
sense. Well,
tell me how that was. Like, was it difficult for them to maybe, I don't want to say listen and respect you since you were younger,
it was listen and respect to accept me. And it was difficult for me to assert myself. You know, I think in the times very early on, there was a lot of kind of ordering around, like, you better do this, you know, kind of almost parental. Like, that's, I think, how your first lesson in management, in a way, growing up, like a subconscious lesson, because that's what your parents are doing, are managing you. And I think that's what a lot of people think of. And I never had any management classes, not taking anthropology. And I didn't really know any better. I wish I had maybe taken some business classes back then, or I wish there was the resource of the internet to do that kind of research on how to be a new manager.
And did your parents have any, I guess, like, I don't want to say input, but advice to you, or were they kind of like, I support you and here, you know, go for it, you do your thing?
They were very supportive, but not... they couldn't give me advice. My dad had been a butcher and a computer tech. And then my mom was a teacher and then a principal. So neither one of them had any business background. I did have an uncle, my godfather, who was he worked for Deutsche Bank. And he would give me advice that typically went over my head. And he was very conservative in terms of how to deal with those situations. And he was in such a different position than I was, and such a different field, obviously, that it was sometimes I felt it was difficult to translate.
So you guys didn't have any mentors growing up?
Not for business, I don't think. I wonder if that's strange. And I always kind of feel strange. I do feel strange saying that I didn't have a business mentor. Not back then. And I think we were just so do-it-yourself.
That's what being a New Yorker is all about.
I think so.
You like just figure things out.
A lot of winging it.
Right. Totally. I'm still winging it nowadays. So
I think that makes things a little interesting. You
right.
know?
And I think at the end of the day, like you got to trust your gut. Like, I think we're more capable of a lot of things than we think.
I agree.
So, you know? Yeah.
There was a lot of trusting our gut.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Working from that as we progressed in our business, there was more emphasis on actual business techniques and less gut work. But I still think I still say in hiring people, especially, your gut will tell you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have any little like
doubts,
that's it. Don't,
yeah,
you know, everything else could look stellar. Just don't even go for it.
So what are some changes that you implemented when you maybe even bought the business and maybe like remodeled it, or even when you guys moved location to where it's at now?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll use the example of when we moved Haven to the location that we're in now, which is technically actually in NoHo, but we were always on Mercer Street. We just moved from 150 to 250. And we had the opportunity to, as I mentioned earlier, kind of fix the mistakes we made the first time around because we didn't really know what we were doing when we built a spa. Like, we put the break room right in the middle. And, you know, you're supposed to walk down this relaxing hallway, and, you know, a door would open up to a kitchen full of screaming people on break, you know. And so we've changed that entirely. And in our new location, we had more space. So we were able to put in steam rooms, larger locker rooms. We have a more significant lounge. We have a hair room, which I really like. And we also, my business partner, designed these unique manicure pedicure stations that we've searched for a really long time to find the right manicure pedicure situation. And we'd been struggling with it for years. And finally, Audra kind of, not entirely invented, but came up with this great design where you'll see it tomorrow.
I know, I was going to say, I'm getting my manicures and pedicure tomorrow, so.
And so you're actually in the same seat. It's almost like a double wide seat. And so you, on one side is the pedicure sink, and on the other side is just a step. And so when you have a manicure or a pedicure and then a manicure, when you're done with the pedicure, you just slide over. And there's a lot of room to keep your bag, and there's this slide-in table, and, you know, we don't have to move you to a totally different area
right.
of the room.
And put, like, the slippers on and kind of all that.
Exactly. You can just relax in the same spot, and it's kind of really cushy and fun.
So you, in the previous location, did you guys have nail services?
We did, but they were small, separate stations. I felt ergonomically it was always a challenge for us. And, you know, we had pedicure stations and manicure stations, and that always limited us because if I had six stations, I couldn't do six of one thing. I had to do three of one and three of the other. And now I have, because I have six stations,
right.
I could do whatever I want, or they can do whatever they want. And it gave us a lot more flexibility by redesigning that.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so let's shift gears a little bit. And now that we've covered Haven Spa, what you do, and just growing up in the city, I want to talk about what keeps you up at night. And of course, I know it's, you know, you don't really know me, so it's kind of like, okay, you just came in and you want to ask me what's bothering me, but that's like the beauty of it. I think New Yorkers, we can connect on a deeper level by just having a conversation. I don't think we do that enough. There's a million people in the city, and we are just so much in tune with our own lives that we never take a second to just ask somebody else how they're doing. So this is my chance to just let you have the floor.
Thank you. I think, you know, I feel like this will be a cliche. What keeps me up at night, I think, is what keeps a lot of New Yorkers up at night. And it's the general stresses of life. I feel that there is so much going on at any given time, especially for, I want to say, working women. I think it's for anyone, actually. That's not really fair. But there, you're always balancing so many different things in your life. And I kind of secretly feel like I never really do any one thing as well as I'd like to. And it's the stress of that. It's, you know, maintaining personal relationships, doing the best that I can at work on many different levels. There's the marketing, there's the people management, there's customer management, there's the running of the business, the day-to-day, the, you know, intricacies of city regulations about how we operate our business. There are, you know, just various concerns that it's a never-ending assault of stimuli. And that's what keeps me up at night is, you know, I'll wake up in the middle of the night like, oh, I forgot to do that, or write it down. And sometimes I'll keep a pad of paper next to my bed so that, like, if I have this idea just before I go to bed or even in the middle of the night about don't forget to do this one thing. I don't have to remember it. I just write it down. And I find that that makes it somewhat better. That and bedtime tea.
I'm huge on tea, and I always, always, always drink tea before bed.
Yes.
My savior. But I can relate to that 100%. I'm so stressed out. I feel like I'm always stressed. Whenever my friends are like, how are you? Like, I say, I'm good, but I have so much going on. And the weird thing is, I like that in a way. Like, I thrive off being busy and the chaos and, like, the fast-paced movement. But it definitely can get overwhelming. And I think it's always a daily challenge to just relax a little and, like, find peace and just take a step back and realize, like, it's okay. You know, I'll figure it out again.
Absolutely. Back to you
what
know,
we were saying.
Recently I started doing this. I was listening to, it's not a book on tape. It's one of these audio recordings of Pema Chodron. She's a Buddhist monk. And she, I forget the name of this particular class that she was giving, but she did this, I think it's like a 5-minute listening meditation. And I find it so relaxing. It just completely takes me out of everything. It takes me out of my head. And it's a few gong strikes and some listening to this and listening to that. And I'm totally oversimplifying it and I'm not trying to downplay it. But I like to do it just before I go to sleep, or if I'm really stressed out during the day about something, I'll do it. It's 5 minutes. And it saves me. I'll say that simply.
I recently have taken up meditation as well, and I love it. But I will say it's when I'm on a roll, I'm like doing it every single day. I used to like wake up and do it, and I was super consistent. And then, you know, let's say I travel or like something, I'll have an interruption in my life. I kind of fall off track. And then I try to pick it back up and I'll do it like here and there. But it's actually so hard to like always remember to do it. And like I hear stuff like, yes, you know, there's like the Calm app where you can listen to meditations and just like writing things down. And just like so many things that even I preach about, like, oh, you should do this to reduce stress. I find it difficult to listen to it and even take time. And I think sometimes you're like, oh, it's only 5 minutes. But then if I'm in the moment, I'm like, I don't have that 5 minutes. Like, yes. I can't even stop for 5 minutes. But in saying that, that's why it's great to also have a mental health day and do massages. And I used to have this mentality of like, oh, that's just, you're just pampering yourself. Like, I don't have time for that. Like, I'd rather use that time to be productive. And it was only now that I'm older, I realize actually, if you take care of yourself first, right, your body, your mind, your soul, all of that, you can be more productive after.
Totally agree.
So right now I'm all about self-care and mental health, and like, it's okay to take time for yourself and put yourself first.
Well, you know, Haven's tagline is take a little time for yourself.
There we go. What a great tie-in. But you were telling me about this new massage.
Yes.
Tell me more about that.
We just introduced a massage called the Harmony Massage, and we've been working on it for quite some time. It started out, a few of the management team had gotten together, and we started talking about, along with our head massage therapist, Laura Katzman, and we were talking about coming up with the massage initially it was to address grief. And I came to this, the idea came to me because I'd been talking to a client, a long-term client, who had just lost her dog and how upset she was. And I have a dog and I could barely talk to her without getting upset. And I really could empathize with her. And, you know, grief is something that a lot of people go through. And I don't think we're taught how to cope with it. And I think that we need tools or ways of coping with grief, dealing with grief, and not so much escaping it permanently because you can't, but even if it's just an hour and a half, like coming in for the Harmony massage per se, it gives you a break from it. And as we were, as Laura was working on this treatment, it kind of evolved. So it can definitely address grief, but that's not really exactly what it's about. It's really about rebalancing. When you're experiencing grief, you are out of balance. Your emotions are all over the place. You're just a hot mess. not everybody is, but many people are. And I think that what we've achieved with the Harmony Massage is pretty remarkable in that it's an integration of a lot of different massage techniques or philosophies and types of interacting with the body and soul. And we do that with some traditional massage, but not a lot. This is not, you know, a typical Swedish rub down. It's much different. It's more about energy work. And again, not like other energy practices where they're holding their hands over these magical chi points, or it's not like that. It is, there are some pressure points, pressure on marmic points. And then they also use a vibrational fork of a specific frequency that works with releasing tension and stuck energies. And they use them on the marmic point. So they strike the fork and then the vibrational point on the end goes onto the point. And so you feel that goes onto the body and you feel that in those, you know, if it's behind the knee or on the shoulder or wherever they're going to be doing it. It's a real a physical experience that I've never had before. And I think most people haven't had. And there's aromatherapy. We have a grounding oil and a lifting oil that we use that were designed specifically for us by Lestrega Buona. And we do, we finish up the massage with the lifting scent and an oral fork, which is oral as in listening. And so it doesn't touch your body, but the waves of the tone kind of move through you. And it's unlike anything I've ever experienced. And as a spa owner, I've experienced a lot. And I think the people who've tried it so far have really been surprised by it in terms of whatever expectations they had, this was different. You know, you can read all you want on the piece of paper, but until you experience it from start to finish, there's nothing like it.
I mean, you describing it makes me want to try it so badly because it is one thing. It's you can read about something, but it's totally different when you experience it yourself. And yes. Especially with a massage, it's so hands-on and it's so personal and just like it's different for every person. It's totally just different. You can't like say this is what you expect because it might not be that when you go in.
And that's absolutely true. It will be different for each person because we all hold our stresses and tensions in different ways in different parts of our body and different parts of our soul and psyche. And so my experience emotionally from the massage and I guess spiritually in a way will be very different from yours. I'm sure of it. But so far we haven't had anyone say like, meh.
I've done massages in places and I'm like, meh.
Yes, or me too.
I've gone and I'm like, I came back the same person. Like if anything, I'm more stressed out. And that's how you know, like, that's not a good place.
Absolutely.
So, okay. So let's move towards the confessions part of the podcast. And it can relate to your answer and expression of just like anxiety or like all the stuff that keeps you up at night, but it can be something totally unrelated.
It's going to be unrelated.
Okay, great.
I thought about this and I joke around with my best friend about my confession all the time, what will be my confession. And that is, even though I've been in the industry for, 28 years about, I'm really bad about using sunscreen.
Oh my God. But you guys probably preach about that, right?
We do. And it's fundamental to good skincare. And I'm religious about everything else. I love using, I'm one of those people, I'll use 5 different serums on my face and great cleansers and moisturizers and all of that. And I'm really lazy about sunscreen. That's my big confession.
I'm one of those people too. I love sun. I'm like one of those 10-step skincare routine girls at night. I love it. It's so therapeutic for me. But in the mornings, before I leave, I just, and I know I'm supposed to, and it's there. It's like on my, you know, vanity, but I just skip it sometimes, and it's so, so bad.
It is. And, you know, it's, if I know, like, during the sunnier months, if I know I'm going to be spending more than a couple of minutes outside, I do it.
Me
but
too.
But you really should be doing it year-round.
Every single day.
Unless you work in a cave, you really need to be wearing sunscreen.
It's just misleading because when it's winter or it's gloomy,
yes,
you're like, oh, the sun isn't around. But no. It's it's still there. It's just not as strong.
It's true. And I feel some guilt about it. That keeps it doesn't really keep me up at night, but it does haunt me a little.
Well, now that it's actually the first day of spring, so maybe both of us can make it a cautious priority.
Yes.
Put sunscreen every day moving forward.
I like that idea.
That's amazing. So if you can thank New York City for one thing.
Yes.
What would that be?
I would say New York City, fierce. I would use the word fierce to describe New York City.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you have to have thick skin and just a great attitude. You can't, like, give up. Like, you know what I mean? You need to, like, hustle here.
The city is fierce. You need to be fierce to be here. I recently traveled to Virginia for a couple of days, and I ran into a number of people like, oh, I was just there, and it's so nice. I could never live there.
Yeah. People say that all the time to me as well.
All the time. And I you know, I listening to them, I'm like, no, you couldn't.
You're not made for this. Yeah. That's so funny. Okay. And another note, I also wanted to ask you, what is one thing that you love most about yourself?
About myself? I think that I'm passionate in terms of I love learning new things. And when I get into new things, I really get into them. And I love digging deep into learning, just learning for the sake of learning.
Right. And just constantly challenging yourself.
Yes.
I think that's another thing too. When people become too comfortable, that's the worst. Like, I like to be in a place where I feel like I'm always growing. There's always things to be, you know, things that you can learn. And just, like, getting out of your comfort zone. You have to. You have to make progress.
I agree.
So I just want to take a moment right now to acknowledge you and to thank you for taking time out of your schedule to record this. You and I don't really know each other, but I really appreciate you just trusting this platform that my messaging and just being able to share your story. And for those that need a massage or haven't had a massage, you need to check out Haven Spa. It's at 250 Mercer Street, correct?
Correct, yes.
Amazing. And I'll leave all of the details in the description. So on a final note, what are you currently up to?
What am I currently up to? You know, thinking of some more ideas for our business, for services. I think we like to come up with new things, not just for clients to be interested, but for us too. We need the stimulation.
Right.
And so, you know, introducing new product lines, but more importantly, new services. Like, this Harmony service is not like anything we've ever done, and I want to do more of that.
When did you guys actually launch that?
The beginning of this year.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm excited. I really want to try it now.
I really want you to try it.
Yeah, amazing. And you guys should try it as well. All right, so thank you so much again.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
It was fun. And stay tuned for the next episode, guys. All right, bye.